At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
You heard Pete Schrager there with what's still, I've heard it many times now, one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. Whatever, interceptions, dismiss that. We can?
Wait,
is that how that works?
Four interceptions in a game.
Somewhere, Jameis Winston's like, whoa, we're dismissing interceptions? I'm the greatest quarterback of all time if we're just dismissing interceptions. Like, Pete Schrager, that was so ridiculous. But there is a lot of hope for the New England Patriots. We've been talking about it each and every day at 4 o'clock. We've been listing various things. And today, we decided to look at a list that someone else put out. That's CBS Sports putting out their annual top 25 players below the age of 25. And just to set the stage for this discussion, I will tell you that number 25 on the list is Garrett Wilson. Pretty good wide receiver for the New York Jets. Let's look at 24, Drake London. Very good wide receiver, in my opinion, for the Atlanta Falcons. Had 100
catches. Should be breaking out.
Well, it's going to be tough to break out more than 100 catches. But yes, now that he has Michael Penix, they could absolutely be a dynamic duo. Then you go next. It's Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from the Eagles. Bijan Robinson, the Falcons got two players.
Number two fantasy pick this year, Andy.
Yeah. Malik Nabers. Okay, all those. Okay. I'll even scroll through. I'm just going to tell you right now, we're not going to come to Drake May. Drake May did not make the list. His teammate, Christian Gonzalez, made the list at number 19. He is 22 years old, and he was unranked a year ago, so all pro. Cracks the list this year. And you'll scroll through. There's some great players on there. It will tell you, though, how many young players are established. Like a Trent McDuffie, who feels like he's been with Kansas City for a while now, is on the list. C.J. Stroud, the quarterback who took a little dip, but is on the list at number 15. And then you scroll all the way up, and you get into the top five. And the number one overall is, I think, quite worthy, because I think a lot of people would be like, that guy feels like he's been around forever. Ja'Marr Chase is the number one player under the age of 25, big money wide receiver. Number two, Jaden Daniels. First-year quarterback a year ago, led the Commanders, or as Trump would call them, the Redskins, to the NFC title game. And he's a rising star, perfect season, the whole thing. But
it's a shame that he's not going to do that again this year, by the way. Damn shame.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The Jaren Duran of quarterback season's coming up for him.
Absolutely.
You want to bet?
Give me metrics that I can bet on.
That they will not go as far in the season, and that his statistics will be down sort of across the board. He will have a
25 touchdowns, season. 9 picks, 3,600 yards, 890 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns.
What was his like passer rating, Fitzy, since you've seen
69%, nice.
No. Passer rating, not his completion percentage. Oh. I know you just wanted to see.
I don't know. I had all the rest of it memorized, though. You got to give me a stick tap for that.
And I know you wanted to make sure you got the 69 in there. Nice. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Rob Gronkowski's is the land of Gronkowski.
100.1 is your passer rating.
Okay, so we had
it's a
passer
pretty,
rating.
Pretty, yeah. pretty good one.
3,568 yards, 25 touchdowns.
800 rushing, so 4,300 whatever, something yards total. No, I think it's a virtual lock that they will win less games. They will not go as far in the postseason, and his numbers will be down. His mistakes will be up. So
I'll bet you on both of those.
Six pack,
absolutely.
Tall boys,
Whichever one fit in our new Fenway Taco and Tequila Fest.
You're damn right that we found in a box in the back room. I think Ken Laird, those are there for the taking, right?
Yeah, he's on vacation. Nobody cares.
Oh, I already snagged one of those, you guys.
Perfect. That's kind of what I was fishing for. Perfect.
I already blazed the trail for you guys.
Is that how the law works? Yeah. The first person stole something, so the second and third people can steal it, and there's no ramifications?
And the last time that happened, it was beers from on the shelf behind Greg Hill's head, and I almost got several people fired. So, sure.
Yeah, good. Well, let's see if we can do that again. But Drake May, not on the list. And I know you're in New England and you want to be worked up, and we all think Drake May is going to be good. We all think he's going to be good. No one on this show, no one involved with this show thinks Drake May is a bust, hates Drake May, anything. Various degrees of dude's a franchise quarterback, got the total package, leadership, he can talk to the media, he's got all the physical tools. But can any of us legitimately make an argument that he deserves to be on this list, because I can't. I can't come up with one. With the year he had last year and the fact that if you're only going to have one or two rookie quarterbacks, like Jaden Daniels was the measuring stick with the year he had. C.J. Stroud, second year, wasn't as good as the first, but he's got 2 years under his belt in terms of under 25 quarterbacks. The resume just isn't there. He is still a guy who is living off potential, living off the eyeball test more than the analytical, statistical return on investment test. So, Fitzy, can you make an argument Drake May should be on this list? Please make an argument.
I would like to be able to make an argument about this, Andy, but I almost walked into my three-point stance earlier on the show saying, I wonder if we haven't hyped up Drake May too much to this point and should be mildly concerned about the fact that some people seem to not just be anointing him the next big thing and putting him in Canton already. You know, I think the Patriots Nation thinks this kid is just going to roll out of bed and sling 35 touchdowns, win 10, 11 games, and be a top five quarterback as, you know, Patrick Allen or Josh Mahomes this season, when in fact he has a long way to go. He started half of an NFL season. We saw the potential. That's what we're banking all of this on, potential. But we're not banking this on a full season. He's on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. He's got brand new weapons behind him, to the left and the right of him, and a reformed offensive line. So much has changed around Drake May at this point. I don't know how you can just instantly say, oh, his talent will help elevate. He'll be the rising tide that raises all boats around him. His processing speed, this, that, the other. No, he still had 15 touchdowns and 10 picks last year. Like, we need to see a full season before we anoint him 25 under 25 worthy.
And it's a great point that so much of this is based on expectations. And, you know, you look at a guy like C.J. Stroud, who's a little bit of the cautionary tale, great first year, regression second year. And yet he's already established, you know, this nugget we've been bouncing around that if you're going to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL, history shows within the first 2 years you make the playoffs. Well, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels got that out of the way as rookies. Uh-huh. So you're allowed to regress because you already have the trip to the playoffs under your belt. No one starts to question, are you really a franchise guy? And the book gets out on you. You've, you know, sort of had your successes. It's easier to talk yourself into that regression in year two. If you're Drake May, I think people are expecting Jaden Daniels. They're expecting C.J. Stroud. They're expecting, you know, lead the way to the playoffs. Be part of the reason this team is good. And it makes me wonder, even with the reasons for positivity, which Peter Schrager sold probably a little harder than he should have, not actually working for the New England Patriots or in a PR role for Drake May himself, you have Josh McDaniels. Good with quarterbacks. Don't give me the Brady crap. Good with quarterbacks. You have Mike Vrabel, proven head coach, stability. The organization is going in a better direction. You have, theoretically, a better offensive line. We'll get to that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much better as some of us would hope it to be. You have arguably better talent at the wide receiver position, although it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together and plays out. But what does Drake May need to do for this to be a good year? Is it simply make the playoffs? Because we had numbers, I think, Dan Ball, you posed them last week where you threw out some numbers. And Fitzy, you were like, not good enough. And I was like, well, if he goes to the playoff with those numbers, they're good enough. Because I think that is the measuring stick for him this year. Now, obviously, he can't be, you know, upside down, five touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and somehow they sneak into the playoffs. But
ew, no.
What is the number or metric or goal that he needs to reach as a second-year quarterback for people to say, yep, he is one of the best players under the age of 25. He is a true franchise quarterback, Fitzy.
So I had Scheim on Six Rings and Football Things a couple days ago because he spun
It was so huge. I feel the need to say his name is Chris Scheim. He's a producer on The Morning Show with Greg Hill, and
he's also
a bit of a savant with football.
Thank you very much for qualifying that. I would imagine there would be some vertical integration and knowledge of Scheim time. But anyway, I wanted to have him on the podcast because a couple days prior, Andy, he said, not in accordance with you, or did he take snake you on the lower than expected stats for Drake May, but rather just like you should have modest expectations for Drake May this season. He believes as well that somewhere between that Mac Jones rookie season and maybe what Jaden Daniels did last year for the Commanders lies the truth of what you should expect for Drake May this season. They're going to run the ball more. There's obviously the previously mentioned question marks that we have all over the offense as well to consider, but they're going to be a run-first team. 24 touchdowns, 10 picks, 600-700 yards rushing with a handful of touchdowns. That's what you should hope for. That should be the, hey, this guy got it. He cut down on the turnover rate. He ran for more yards. The team won more games than they lost, and we see nothing but growth and progress. It's tough for Pats fans, I believe, who have huge expectations right now to recalibrate them this far before training camp, because you know what they're going to get, Andy, starting in a few weeks. You know, at Patriots is just going to start sending deep ball porn and, whoa, look at the wheel route to Travion Henderson. Kyle Williams is cooking, blah, blah, blah. No. Guys, you can't expect the moon from him. I think people that say, because this is an off-quoted stat on this afternoon program as well as it was on the Six Rings postgame show. Yes, Peyton Manning led the league in picks, then came back the next year and led the league in touchdown passes. That's Peyton Manning. If we're going to start comparing Drake May to Peyton Manning beyond the hope for a turnaround this season, then we're out of our minds and we need a sobriety check.
Yeah, no, that would be silly. We compare him to Tom Brady. That would be, why would we compare him to Peyton Manning?
Oh, that's a good point.
We keep it reasonable.
We keep it to somebody who's in the same building.
You need 2008 Matt Cassel, like you pointed out when we did the stat breakdown last week.
Well, the thing that sneaks up on me is, and it's something I actually asked about the Gerard Mayo era or error, however you want to say it here in New England.
The latter is fine.
Was it year one of the rebuild when Mayo took over because it was post Belichick and you moved on, or was it like year five because Bill had kind of been trying to rebuild forever and it didn't work? I ask the same question when we're assessing Drake May. Is it year one assessing Drake May? Because really you kind of just throw out, like they did, literally the organization threw out basically everything on offense a year ago. They got rid of Gerard Mayo. They got rid of Alex Van Pelt. I don't think Alex Van Pelt is getting a lot of job offers to come be an offensive coordinator and install his system in a lot of places. So it's almost a true reset where you have to say, this is kind of year one for Drake May with a real head coach and a real offensive coordinator and a real scheme and real everything structured around him. I don't think fans are going to look at it that way. I actually think Drake May is going to be held to a really high standard. Fitzy, I look forward to or don't really look forward to post-game shows, depending on how this plays out, because I think I could be fighting with people no matter what, which may say more about me than it does them. But I think, like, if he throws three touchdowns and no interceptions in the first game, I think people are going to be crazy, going nuts positive, when I'm probably going to be like, can we wait till game three? And vice versa. If he throws a couple picks, I don't think I'm going to be like, this guy can't play. Get him out of the league. Oh, my God, we blew the pick a couple years ago. But I think that is the week to week that Drake May is going to be living with and assessed on.
Yeah, there was an anointing last year. As soon as people saw, you know, there was the preseason. There was Mayo saying that he beat out.
You forgot his name?
That's
hurtful.
No, that was just a senior
moment. Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. He beat out Brissett in the competition, but Brissett, I've moved on from him. What can I say? That's part of my past.
He's driving around Boston listening to 93.7.
He is driving around Phoenix right now because he plays for the Arizona Cardinals.
And they're like, how quickly they forget. I gave my body for that team. Remember the beating he took for a little over a month?
It was borderline biblical.
And you people forget his name like that. That was telling, Fitzgerald.
Yes, it was.
Your point.
I feel terribly.
Number seven on the jersey, number zero in Fitzy's
number
mind.
Zero in your
unreal. Negative number. Jacoby Brissett. Wow. Somewhere. That's just.
Yeah. What have you done for me lately, you stiff, you tackling dummy, you crash test boob? Yeah, that was bad. You know, it beats out Brissett. And the next thing you know, it's like, but we're not going to play him. And then he gets in and you see some of the flashes of potential. And then all of a sudden the kid is like, oh, that's it. He is the next thing. He might be extremely good in 2-3 years from now. We may be speaking of him that way. But it's just, why not? See, here's what I would preach to fans. Why not temper your expectations and set, like, a modest floor for him this season, so that if he attains that, you say, good, he's on track. He's got a long career ahead of him. You can't be expecting 2018 Patrick Mahomes. They had Tyreek Hill. They had Andy Reid. They had so much talent on that. They had Travis Kelce. You don't have any players like that on this team right now. So I'm telling you, it is in your best interest, as the team will try to win games with defense, a power running game, and some smart play-action-based passing with some Drake May running as Josh McDaniels sees fit. And when he's comfortable, you know, like giving him more leash, as we say, that's what you need to do. Recalibrate your expectations now so as to not allow yourself to see this team go 9-8 and be like, oh, Drake May only had 24 touchdowns and 8 picks. This kid's a stiff.
We remembered Lyndon Byers last segment, and Chris in Beckett has been hanging on for a while. He wants to tell a story about LB. Chris, what's up?
Chris. Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I've been a huge fan of LB my whole life because I watched him play with the Bruins, and he was such a protective teammate. And then when he ended up on the radio station with Greg Hill and the rest in the morning, he changed that radio program. It became more exciting to listen to. And I just want to express my condolences to his family because he had nothing but love for them. Like, he was so excited about being a dad and a husband, and he brought so much. Like, he was so full of life, and he would do anything for anybody. And I just wanted to have this opportunity to express my thanks and gratitude for him and to express my condolences for his family. He was a huge figure in Boston. And I love this about the Bruins. These guys that come here, like Cam Neely, Ray Bourque, LB, they come here and they stay here because they're part of the fabric of our community, and it's for a good reason because they're great guys. So,
thanks for the call, Chris. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Well said. Very, very well said. Joining in some of the words from Fitzy and Stiz and everybody. You know, LB was a big teddy bear, as Stiz said, and larger than life. Lived a good life that touched a lot of people, where he's clearly squeezed the most juice, Fitzy, as you said, out of the time he had with us, which was unfortunately too short.